By popular demand, I want to show a wakeboarding video of myself. That was my first time wakeboarding, and so it was foolish of me. Now look, was it because I didn't know how to stay in the wake? A little bit, but it was foolish for me to go immediately outside of the wake, in, like right when I started, right? If a pro wakeboarder was teaching me how to wake, he would have said, whoa, today, tomorrow, for the next month, we're just going to stay in the wake the whole time. This is where you live, just right here in the wake. That's what he would have said if I was being taught by a wakeboarding pro. But me, I just go outside the wake instantly, and it takes 1 second for me to be outside the wake that I fall and just eat it and just taste Lake Levan. And that's because outside the wake, it's harder to ride. It's more choppy. It's not as smooth. It is more difficult to ride outside the wake than inside. Inside, it's calmer. It's a place where you can kind of get down the essentials of wakeboarding if you've never done it before, like I hadn't. I should have stayed in the wake, and I should have learned how to stay in the wake, really. And that would have given me a better opportunity to one day be able to go outside the wake. Right, because I could have gotten my sea legs under me, if you will. I would have become accustomed to wakeboarding and all the different muscles that it takes and the balance that it takes. And it would have been a lot better for me to stay in the wake and learn and grow in wakeboarding and get strong. And man, the same is true for us. Last week we talked about Jesus' call for us is to follow him, to walk in his wake. That's why our ministry is called Wake. We want to be people that follow in Jesus' wake. And here's what you need to know. Life outside of Jesus' wake, not following behind him, is really choppy. It's really difficult to navigate. And there are going to be a lot of times in your life where you want to be riding behind Jesus' wake. We always do, right? Because it's smoother. It's where life is found. You can grow and get strong. It's a wake that'll take you farther than any other. But man, there are definitely going to be times that are coming in your lives where you will have been wanting to have been riding in Jesus' wake. When disappointment comes because you wanted something really badly and you didn't get it, you will want to be riding in Jesus' wake. When people make fun of you or talk about you behind your back, you will be wanting to ride in Jesus' wake. When things are going well, you want to be riding in Jesus' wake because that's where peace is found. That's where life is found. That's where meaning and joy and satisfaction and contentedness and knowing who you are and whose you are, that's where all that is found. And so today we're going to talk about what it looks like to follow in Jesus' wake, how we do it. And I want to kind of give a disclaimer because we're using this wakeboarding analogy a lot. And really, it's just a picture of something we're trying to communicate, of what does it look like to follow Jesus. And so we hope it's helpful. But here's the thing you need to know is, man, all pictures and all analogies and all illustrations, they always kind of do break down. So don't like think about it too much, right? If you're like, man, am I pulling behind all these different boats? Here's what I want you to think about, man. How can you follow Jesus? Are you following Jesus? And we're going to talk about wakeboarding as a picture of that. So don't get caught up in the wakeboarding picture as much as the, hey, we're going to talk about what it looks like to follow Jesus, and I want you to apply those things to your life and see what sticks and what doesn't. So three things you absolutely need to ride in the wake. When you're wakeboarding, you need three things to ride behind the wake. And the same thing is going to be true as we try to walk and follow and ride in Jesus' wake. And the first thing is this, you need a boat. You can't go wakeboarding without a boat. Duh, obvious. It's the source of the wake, right? We talked about a wake is something that is, it's a path that's created by a source. And you need a source to provide that wake. And here's what you need to know. The quality of your ride will be determined by the strength of your boat. The first time I ever tried water skiing was in high school. Like I said, I didn't do a lot of water stuff growing up besides going to Schlitterbahn. But in high school, me and two of my best friends, we played football together. We tried water skiing at Horseshoe Bay, which is this lake kind of by Austin. And we had a jet ski that, man, a family friend had let us borrow. And so we were trying to do the water skiing behind the jet ski. And so I would go, and I've got my two friends who are kind of big football players. I was the smallest of them. They're definitely bigger than I was. And they're trying to pull me on this jet ski, and I could not get up. We tried over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And I could never get up. I was so frustrated. I would say it's one of the most frustrated things I've ever tried to do. In fact, I was so frustrated, I didn't try to water ski again for like 5 years. Anytime I'd be with friends and we'd be on a lake, they'd be like, hey, you want to try water skiing? I'd be like, no, give me that tube. I'll hold on tight. You'll try to flip me. It'll be fun. Let's just do that. Because it was a lot easier, and I was so frustrated with water skiing. Well, one summer, I was working at camp with some friends, and after camp had ended, we went to a lake to kind of recharge, and we all went out on the boat, and they tried to get me to do water skiing. I was like, sure, why not? Well, I was surprised to learn that I was able to water ski like on my second try. I got up and I was able to go for like 5 or 10 minutes. It was awesome. I was like, oh, this is so much fun. And I was telling my buddy about this after we were done. And he was like, hey, what kind of boat pulled you the last time? And I was like, oh, a jet ski. And he's like, oh, well, there's your problem. Because before I had tried with this jet ski with these two big football players on it. And then now I was trying on this boat that had a lot of power, and it made it so much easier. There's a huge difference between a jet ski with two big football players and a big boat that has a lot more horsepower. And the quality of my ride at that time was determined by the strength of my boat. That jet ski made my ride basically nothing. But that boat, man, water skiing was fun. It was enjoyable. It was a lot easier than I remembered it. And so the question that you need to ask yourselves is, what is creating the wake that you travel in? What's creating the wake that you travel in? What is the source that you're following behind? We're all going to be following behind something. And there's a lot of things that we can like and enjoy and pursue. But man, what's the main thing that's pulling you that you're following behind the most? What is the primary source of your ride? And what we hear Jesus flat out say is, hey, I'm the boat you should be traveling behind. I'm the one who should be the source of your ride. He says this in John 14. People ask him a question, and he answers by saying, hey, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And it doesn't get any clearer than that. But yet, so many times, we try to let other boats be our source. We choose to ride behind other boats. Sometimes we choose to ride behind a boat like this, right? A paddle boat. Paddle boats look fun, right? At the beginning, for some people. I'm sure they thought it was going to be fun, but this honestly, this grandma, she probably is doing all the work, first of all, because those kids are not going to propel them. And 30 minutes in, she's probably like, I'm done. We're going back to the house. I'm going to put on Paw Patrol, and you meddling kids can just watch that while I go ice my legs or my knees, right? Because she's super tired. Because a paddle boat looks fun, but here's what we know, if you've ever done it. It gets you nowhere fast, and it gets old pretty quick, at least in my experience, right? And I have chosen in my personal life to follow behind paddle boats as the main source of my ride. Things that look great, that seem to promise happiness, but man, get old really fast. In my life, I've been consumed with popularity, with being liked, with this idea that I want everybody that I know to be able to say, like, God, that Sean is such a great guy. Oh, I'm so glad I know that Sean guy. Man, that's awesome. I'm so glad I know him. Being popular, being liked. I have been consumed with that at different seasons of my life. It's still a struggle for me today to want to be liked by everybody, to want to be everybody's favorite person. But that gets old really fast. I've also, throughout my life, at different seasons, I have given tons of hours to Netflix, to YouTube, to video games, to the endless scroll of Instagram as a way to escape, as a way to avoid dealing with stuff, as a way to procrastinate, or maybe just as a way to go, hey, what I care most about is that I'm always entertained, that I'm always comfortable, and that I'm always having fun. And man, all that stuff gets old fast. There's no video game that doesn't get old. I don't care how many different versions of Fortnite and new things they put out, it gets old eventually. And the more you do it, the more you follow it, the more you make it the main source, the quicker it gets old. And so a lot of times, man, we will just be following behind this paddle boat, and it gets old, and we just go to another one, and that gets old, and we go to another one, and that gets old, so we go to another one. And all that time, we're just missing it. We're missing it. Well, sometimes we will follow behind boats like this. Anybody remember those wind-up boats that you would wind up and put them in the bathtub, and they'd go to about halfway through the bathtub, and then they just, right? Or maybe even if you have a cool one, you could put it in the pool, and it goes like half the pool length, but eventually it just dies because you can't wind it up enough to where it'll always go forever. Sometimes we'll choose to make the main source of our meaning and our identity and who we are and what we're chasing things that say, hey, follow behind me and I'll take you wherever you want to go. But all those things sputter out. I mean, in my life, I've chased good grades. I've chased excellence in sports. That was short-lived, but I've chased it. I've chased having money. I've chased being liked. I've chased romantic relationships. I mean, all those things sputter out. They all sputter out. They seem like they're going to promise me all these things that I want, but they just run out of gas. They all do. And sometimes we'll go wind up another one and chase behind that, and it sputters out. We'll wind up another one and chase behind that, and we're missing it. All of those things, and a lot of those things that I said are good things. Like, it's good to want to have good grades. It's good. It's not a bad thing, like, to want to be liked. That's not like sin in your heart because you just want to be liked. It's a good thing to want to excel in sports and have friendships and one day to pursue a romantic relationship. That's not a bad thing. But man, when you make that your main source, when I have made those things my main source, they always left me sinking. And they will do the same to you. But Jesus, man, he promises way more. Jesus promises to be this boat, the Super Aeronautique. What a cool name for a boat. The biggest, baddest, most powerful boat you could get behind. He says that in John 10. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. And what he's saying there is he's saying, quit fooling around with those sorry boats. They stink. Follow behind me. And the promise there is that not that just you'll have life, but you will have life to the full, the most full life you could have. And that is true. And I would tell you, in seasons of my life where I have made Jesus the main source of my ride, where I've sought to know him and love him more, to be connected to him on the deepest level, to love his people, that is where life has been found. And it is only because I'm foolish or blind or dumb that I'm chasing after other things, because I've seen that that is where life is found. The quality of your ride is determined by the strength of your boat. You got to have a boat if you're going to ride in the wake. You got to have a source that's going to create the wake you want. Along with that, you didn't have a board. You can't go wakeboarding without a board, and a board is a foundation. Right? And a good foundation is key to a lot of things. For all my engineering friends out there, there is a skyscraper in San Francisco called the Millennium Tower. It's been built probably like 8 to 10 years. And for whatever reason, when they built this 60 to 80 story tower, they did not do a great job on the foundation. And so this building is sinking. It is literally sinking, obviously not like it's in quicksand where you can see it sinking, but over time, it's sinking. And this is what it looks like inside of it. There are cracks in the walls inside of it. If you were to drop a ball in one of the apartments in there, it would roll to the other side of the apartment because it's also leaning because it's sinking. It's hard to see it, but if you can tell, it is leaning a little bit, and it's only leaning and sinking more as time goes by. So who is signing up to rent an apartment in that building? Nobody, right? Nobody is. Nobody actually is. All right? Although you could probably get it pretty cheap right now, especially in San Francisco. But man, nobody's signing up to live there. In the same way, if you were in a wakeboard competition and you're next to a guy that's also competing against you and he's like putting on a sweet wakeboard and you're strapping up into a cardboard box and you're like, what's up? He's going to be like, well, that guy, I'm not worried about competing against him because this cardboard box is going to fall apart quicker than I fall apart when I'm wakeboarding. And because a good foundation, a good board is critical. Without a quality board, man, you will never get up. You never will. The boat is the source. The board is the foundation. You can have a killer boat, but you also need a great foundation. So if a great foundation is critical, then what should our foundation be as we're trying to follow in Jesus' wake? Let's look at his words in Matthew 7. Says this, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. It says, when those same storms came, the same rain, the same wind, that house fell with a great crash. So Jesus' answer here, what's the foundation we're to build off of as we follow in his wake, is his word. But it's not just his word, it's actively putting it into practice. That's the difference. And here's what I want you to know about this book, the Bible, scriptures that God gives us. It is not mainly a list of do's and do nots. It has do's and do nots in here. It's not mainly a collection of just random stories about characters. And it has stories about people that actually lived. But man, this is all about Jesus. This book is God telling us who he is, how much he loves us, even in spite of us, how we got here and where we're going through Jesus. And living it out means taking it in and letting it tell your heart what's true. It means taking it in and this being the foundation upon what you believe to be true. Because this is true. This is God's word. It is his revealing to us who he is, what's going on, where it's headed. So that, man, putting it into practice is reading it, believing it, and man, trusting it on a deep level. So when God says, hey, this is the way that I've designed the world to work, when God says, hey, this is who I am, I'm in control, and I love you, then that we trust that no matter what storms come. So that passage describes the man who makes God's word his foundation in that way as wise. We all love to be around wise people. They give great advice, among many other things. Psalm 1 will describe the man who puts God's word as his foundation as blessed. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on that law he meditates day and night. And it says he's like a tree planted by streams of water. So I told you I didn't do a lot of water stuff growing up except going to Schlitterbahn and tubing the rivers, because that's what there is to do in New Braunfels. And if you've ever tubed the river, then you would see that along the river are these huge trees. So I got a couple pictures from the Guadalupe River in my hometown. And these trees don't, like, these pictures don't even do it justice. These trees are massive. It takes multiple people to make a circle around one tree. And I would tell you that in my hometown, there have been probably like 3 or 4 pretty big floods in my lifetime. And man, parts of Schlitterbahn get knocked down and other places around town get knocked down. But those trees always stay there because they have deep roots, because they're planted right by a stream of water. And that is the picture of who you will be if you make God's word your foundation. That no matter what floods or storms or winds come, you are planted firmly. You are planted firmly. And you'll be both blessed and wise to make God's word your foundation, because it will continually point you to your source, Jesus. So you got to have a boat, you got to have a board, and you got to have a rope to wakeboard, right? You got to have a connection to your source. So imagine this. You've got that awesome wakeboard. You're strapped into it. Your knees are up to your chest. You're sitting in the water. You're ready to go. The boat is right there. The engine is purring. Maybe there's music playing. You're psyching yourself up. You're like, let's go. Let's do this. Let's do this. Here we go. I'm gonna get it here. I'm going to get it. Here we go. The boat, the engine revs. You're filled with anticipation and adrenaline. You're like, this is my time. And the boat takes off. And then it just keeps going and going and going. And you can barely see it. And then it's just gone. And you're just still sitting there in the middle of the lake. What happened? You didn't have a rope. Right? And without a rope, you're dead in the water. Not like there's sharks that are going to come eat you in the water, but you're dead in the water without a rope. You got to have a connection to the source. And here's what we want you to remember. Man, what we really want you to remember is that you could be reading this every day. You could have the whole thing memorized, which would be incredible. You could be going to a small group every week. You could be coming to Wake every week and be at Retreat and D-Town and Dallas Experience and on and on and on. But if none of that is based on a real connection with Jesus, it doesn't really mean that much. And it doesn't carry you anywhere into the abundant life that Jesus promises. All this is meant to be based in a connection with Jesus. Right? Small group is not the point. Coming awake is not the point. Right? Memorizing God's word just to have it memorized and so you can win in some lame Bible trivia contest, that's not the point. The point of Christianity is Christ. That's why it's called Christianity. And man, if we will make Jesus the focus, if we will be connected to him, if all these things will connect us to him, man, everything else is going to take care of itself. And we're called to be in an abiding relationship with God. His word, his people, and but specifically, we're called to be in an abiding relationship with God through Jesus. And that word abiding gets thrown around here a lot. Here's what I want you to know. It means to be in a fixed relationship with, to be focused on. Day in, day out, you have a connection. You have a relationship. Not just sometimes, not just when you feel like it. Oh, but man, abiding, day in, day out. And a lot of times we'll view the Christian life, this thing called Christianity, as a list of things to do. Check the box of reading the Bible, great. Check the box of going to a small group, fantastic. Check the box of coming awake or going to church, check, done. But man, all that stuff is meant to connect us to the real point of Christianity, Jesus himself. In John 15, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I am it, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing, nothing. Those are extreme words, but they are true. And we get compared to a branch that's connected to a tree, and as long as it's connected, it's got leaves going off of it, and it's healthy, and it's got fruit growing off of it. But as soon as you cut that branch, and it's not connected to that vine, not connected to that tree, it dies. It withers up. And that's how we're compared. That's what Jesus says we are like. He is the vine. We are the branches. We are meant to be connected to him. I mean, you can be doing all the quote-unquote right things you're supposed to do, but if you're not connected to Jesus, man, it all amounts to nothing, even the good stuff. So if you remember last week, man, we talked about how Jesus' invitation to follow him is not, hey, go clean yourself up, go fix yourself, make yourself presentable, and then follow me. He just says, no, come follow me. And you'll be a part of something greater than you can imagine. And so a lot of times as we think about, man, teaching God's word from stage at Wake, one of the questions we always go is, hey, what do we want students to do? Like, based on this message, what do we want students to do? What's the quote-unquote application? And man, what we want you to do is Psalm 34:8 says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. So what we want you to do is just taste and see. Jesus' invitation is, hey, come follow me. Give it a shot. As kind of a new dad, one of the things that's kind of fun is when we let Harper try new stuff and try new flavors. Last night we gave her Chick-fil-A sauce for the first time. And I don't know if she loved that. It didn't. She just ate it. But like, it's fun to think about, man, I can't wait for her to try this. I can't wait for her to try this. And you know what I never think that about is broccoli. Right? I'm never like, man, I can't wait for Harper to try broccoli. Because broccoli, frankly, doesn't have much flavor, if we're honest. You can cook it in a way that has flavor, I'm sure. But, man, I do get excited about, I can't wait for her to try ice cream, right? Oh, yeah. I can't wait for her to take her first, like, real bite of pizza. Oh, my gosh. And then I'll teach her how to dip the crust in ranch dressing, right? And the little thing, ranch dressing, the great equalizer out there. I know, man. It's good with everything. Makes everything good. Jermaine got me hooked on putting a little honey on my pizza. Also good. I'm like, man, I can't wait for her to try that stuff. All right, you can debate. You can debate all that stuff in just a minute. You can debate all that stuff in just a minute. But I'm like, man, I have so many things I want Harper to try because I know they're good. And I know that 99% of people like them. Right? And so, you know, like I said, I don't get excited about her tasting broccoli. I hope she likes it because it's healthy for her. But man, I hope she likes ice cream because ice cream's good. I can't wait for her to try that. And what I would tell you is why our team and these leaders are here is because we can't wait for you to taste and see that following Jesus is good. And that's what we want you to do. If you've never ridden in Jesus' wake, right, if you've never made him the source of your life, been filled by his word so that you'd be connected in an actual relationship with him, if it's just been do's and do nots and there's never been a real connection, or maybe you've just never really like believed it, or you've just kind of questioned it, hey, here's all I want you to do is just taste and see. I want you to read Ephesians 1 to learn about, man, the riches of life that come with being a follower of Christ. I want you to read Philippians 3, where Paul talks about, hey, anything I could get is all garbage compared to how good it is to know Jesus. I want you to read John and hear Jesus' words, the promises that he says that he's life to the full. And if you've been following Christ for a long time, man, I just want you to think about, man, re-up on keeping him as your source of life. It doesn't need to be this big deal of like, today I'm going to re-up and like this big deal. Just, man, ask yourself, man, am I following, is Jesus the real main source of life? Is he the boat that I'm following behind? If you're in a small group, ask the people in your small group to be honest with you and say, hey, when you look at my life, is Jesus the one that I'm following behind? And then, man, be ready for that answer. And if the answer is yes, keep at it. And if the answer is no, I mean, taste and see. What would it look like to switch from following behind that boat and to follow behind Jesus? To make him my primary source of life, joy, meaning, peace, all those things. And guys, wake will always be a place where you're taught about Jesus. It always will. We're always going to go back to Jesus because we have experienced, tasted, and seen that he's good and that he's worth it and that he's the best wake to follow behind. That's what you can expect week in and week out from us and your leaders and your small groups because we have tasted and we've seen. God, thank you that you are good. God, thank you that, God, you died so that we could have a relationship with you. God, when our sin was in the way, when our selfishness and pride and idolatry was in the way, you made a way, Lord, by paying our punishment on the cross and rising from the dead. And Lord, I pray that each of us, you would show us how good it is to follow you. And I pray that we'd be people that walk in your wake. God, and that would leave a wake behind us as we're following in yours that other people would be curious about. and want to know, because it's a wake that's peaceful and calm, just like the one that you create, and we're walking in it. And so, God, I just ask that even if the boat and wakeboarding analogies and pictures got confusing, God, I'll just pray that each of the students here and leaders and myself and our team, God, that you would just help us to follow you more, whether for the first time or, as we've been doing for maybe many years. God, show us how good you are. Thank you that you are good. And we ask all this knowing it's by your grace alone, for your glory and for our good.